Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
Every time I stand up here, this is what happens. I'm tore up from the floor up before I ever get started. Well, I'm gonna surprise you, I think, this morning. This morning, we're going to go. It's a pleasure to share the word with you every time I get up here. I am so thankful because I'm so not worthy. And yet, because of him, I can stand up here and deliver his word to you. And so I thank God for his grace to do that. We're going to Psalm 23 this morning, Psalm 23. Now, these are some of the most well-known verses in all of the Bible. And many times these verses are used to comfort people in their suffering, people who are on their deathbeds or facing death. We use it a lot in funerals. As a pastor, we use it a lot in funerals to comfort people who have lost a loved one. And all of that is true and it's beautiful. And those revelations are in there for people who are suffering. But I want you to see this morning that Psalm 23 is a declaration of life, of abundant life, of eternal life. We could even say that Psalm 23 is a map or a model for enjoying the abundant life that Christ purchased for us and promised to us. And so we're going to jump into Psalm 23. If you have a physical Bible and you want to grab the other place we're going to be right now before we start, it's in John chapter 10, okay, the Gospel of John chapter 10. So Psalm 23, and then we're going to refer to John chapter 10 this morning. But before we do any of that, please pray with me for this word. Father, thank you so much for your word. Your words are spirit and life. Your word is true and it is perfect. God, I ask you to pour out by the power of your Holy Spirit, pour out wisdom and revelation this morning. Minister, renew our minds, transform our hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask you to make this word alive in each one of us by the power of your word and your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, many of you know this, but this psalm was written by David. And remember, the life of David had a lot of highs and a lot of lows. He was a shepherd boy that was anointed to become the second king of Israel. And as a shepherd, he killed the lion and the bear, protecting the sheep. He demonstrated great faith in God as a teenager when the entire Israeli army were shaking in their armor, and David, this teenage boy, walks out there with a sling and a stone and takes down Goliath. David spent 10 to 15 years running from Saul, the king who had been disqualified by God. We know David, he sinned greatly. His life is exposed to us. He sinned greatly and he paid a great price. His own son, Absalom, betrayed him, stole his throne, and sought to kill him. David knew sin and tragedy and suffering. But David also knew the God of all comfort. He knew his perfect love. He knew his sufficient grace. Do you know that this morning? David was a passionate worshiper. He was a courageous warrior. And even with all of his sins and his failures, God called David a man after his own heart. Yes. Now, with all of this in mind, we're going to walk through Psalm 23 verse by verse this morning. We're going to spend a lot of time on verse 1, but I promise you we'll move through and we'll finish by 4. Okay. All right. So, if you're with me this morning, Psalm 23 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David begins the psalm with a declaration. The Lord, that is Yahweh, that is the one who reigns over all things, the creator and the sustainer of all things, the great I am, the one true God. David recognizes and declares, "I am a sheep, and the Lord is my shepherd." Now, David understood the needs of the sheep. But David also knew the heart of a good shepherd. And David had come to know his shepherd personally, intimately, and to trust his shepherd. So David says, "I am not the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." You see, many people want to be the shepherd of their own lives, and all of us at times try to be our own shepherd. And when we do, we discover that we are not good shepherds. We were not created to be the shepherd of our lives. We were created to be sheep. And so David declares with wisdom and confidence, "The Lord is my shepherd. He loves me. He takes care of me. He leads me. He feeds me. He heals my wounds. He provides for me. He protects me from danger or comforts me in suffering. And when I am trapped, he sets me free. The Lord is my shepherd." Now, about 1,000 years after David came Jesus. And so I want to go to the Gospel of John chapter 10, and we're just going to read some select verses here. I'm going to give them to you as we read them. So we're going to begin John chapter 10 verse 11. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own." Now all the way down to verses 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. I know my sheep. They know me. They know my voice, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. They're mine, and no one can take them from me. Nothing can separate us from him." David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," and 1,000 years later, Jesus did not say, "I am a good shepherd." He says, "I am the good shepherd." I am the good shepherd. And so I ask you this morning, who is your shepherd? What voice are you hearing and following daily? Can you declare like David, "The Lord is my shepherd"? It's important Because the next 5.5 verses, everything I'm going to say for the rest of this morning depends on the Lord being your shepherd. It only works if Jesus is the shepherd and we're the sheep that follow him. Listen, we have all followed some horrible shepherds. Guilty. Maybe you still do. Billions of people in this world every day follow horrible shepherds. The culture is a horrible shepherd. TV, the internet, social media is a horrible shepherd. Money and things, possessions, are terrible shepherds, but there are people who invest their entire lives chasing those things, following those things. I love my wife. She's a wise woman. She's a minister of Jesus. But she's not the good shepherd. And I cannot be her good shepherd. Before we are anything else, we are disciples of the good shepherd. We are sheep of the good shepherd. We are sheep. Your family may be great people. Your friends, your feelings, your heart, not the good shepherd. If we follow those shepherds, here's the cost. We will never know the abundant life that Jesus promised for us. We'll never know the abundant life that he purchased for us. It'll always be less. Only Jesus is the good shepherd. Only Jesus leads us to abundant life. Are you with me, church? Can you say this morning, the Lord Jesus is my shepherd. I belong to him. I will listen to his voice. I will follow him. I will obey him. Not perfectly, but passionately. Not perfectly. There's only one who was perfect. But I will follow him and obey him passionately. That was David. Imperfect, but very passionate. Still in verse 1, David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David declares, I am a sheep. I am completely dependent on the shepherd. But the good news is, I have everything I need in him. Like David, and only because of Jesus, we can also declare with confidence, I have everything I need in Christ Jesus. I am a sheep. I think I know what I need, but I can always trust that the good shepherd knows what I need and will always do what is best for me if I will follow him. If I will follow him. In Matthew 6, Jesus promised to provide for our needs when we seek his kingdom first. In Philippians 4, the word says that our God will meet all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Praise God, it doesn't have to depend on my riches, but on his riches in glory. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? I shall not want. It's not easy to believe when life happens. When the enemy comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, when something happens that tests our faith greatly, it's not easy to believe. Let's be honest. I'm a pastor, but I'm not always this tower of faith. It's not easy to believe. Because what started in the garden is still happening today. The enemy tells us that our Father is stingy. You want to learn a new Spanish word today? I'm going to teach you a new Spanish word, okay? Codo. Codo. You know what codo is? It's your elbow. Codo. This is a codo, okay? It's C-O-D-R, but we say like a T-H, so it's codo, okay? You know what else it means? Stingy. Tight. Okay? My wife likes to spend money. She might call me codo. Yeah, I know. I've got a rare one, right? The enemy tells us that our Father is stingy. He's codo, that he will keep the best things from us, that he will not provide what we need, that there's a better option. Figure it out. You can do it. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. All lies. Jesus provides what we need. There is no better option. As David declared in another psalm, Psalm 34, what I declare to you this morning is that those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. So verse 1, two truths that have the power to transform your life even this morning. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd, and I have everything I need in him. Do you believe it? Do you know in the depths of your soul that you can trust the good shepherd? Tell somebody, pastor is preaching to himself this morning. I'm preaching to myself. Am I preaching to anybody else this morning? Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, I have heard so many times, I have heard this psalm shared, and this is just about peace and rest. Verse 2. And those are glorious truths here. Those are beautiful things to embrace, but this verse is so much more than that. In those days, in the land of Israel, a green pasture with water running through it was an oasis in the desert. Now, if we look at this from a human being's perspective, we look at a green pasture with water running through it, and we're like, oh, that's pretty. But it's not exciting. But if you're a sheep, a green pasture is an oasis in the desert. It is full of life. It is grass for food. It is water to drink. It is spacious land, freedom to run and to play and to lay down and rest, protected. But listen, within the boundaries or the limits of the pasture. Where we're safe and protected under the care of the Good Shepherd. This is abundant life for a sheep that follows the shepherd. Let's go back to John 10. last time to John 10, I want to read verses 9 and 10. Now listen to what Jesus says after hearing what David just said. Verses 9 and 10, John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find what? Pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that may have it, they may have it more abundantly. You'll never look at a pasture the same way again. If you look with the eyes of a sheep, he says, I'm the door of the sheep. When you enter by me, you'll be saved. You'll come in and go out and you will find pasture. When we repent of our sins and we put our faith in Christ alone, we're saved. We're set free from the power of sin and death. And through our relationship with the good shepherd, as we hear his voice and follow him, he leads us to a life of abundance within the limits of his will, which is always best for us. We're free to live in the abundance of his goodness and sufficient grace, his power and protection and provision, his perfect love, his peace which surpasses all understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is the abundant life that Jesus promised to his sheep. This is our confidence and our rest. Are you still with me this morning? Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is great news. This is the spiritual restoration that we all need in our lives, not just one time. When you failed or fallen in sin, when your heart is broken or you feel alone or afraid or you've suffered a loss, when you're tired from the battles, anybody know about that? When you're tired from the battles or discouraged or you feel defeated, when your faith is failing or your hope is fading, Jesus is there to restore your soul. David knew this well. Read his story. Because his soul needed restoration again and again and again. And you know what? So does mine. And so does yours. This is the reality of living in a fallen world, in a sinful world with sinful people, and we are one. We are one. We have enemies that are against us, a world that more and more rejects us. And so this is the reality that we face. But Jesus says he is always there to comfort us, to heal our hearts, to restore our souls. Also, David says he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In his amazing grace, when Jesus saves us, he puts his Holy Spirit in us. And when we follow the Good Shepherd, he always leads us farther and farther away from sin and closer to holiness, to obedience. To become more and more like him in here in our character and out here in our conduct. This is where he leads us always. Because we carry his name. We represent the Good Shepherd. So it matters how we live. If we live for ourselves or if we live for him, as he says, for his name's sake, for the glory of his name. And remember, David was a man after God's own heart. He learned to love what God loves and to hate what God hates and to be a man that reflected the heart of God to the people in his life. Not perfectly, but passionately. David did it imperfectly, and so will we. But we do it. As we follow the Good Shepherd, we're transformed more and more into the image of Jesus. And he leads us to the abundant life that he has for us. And it's our joy to do it for the glory of his name. It's our joy. It has to be our joy to do it. For people to see Jesus in us. Because we may be the only Jesus that some people ever see. Amen? All right, verse 4, we're halfway done. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Like David, there are times in all of our lives as believers that we're going to walk through some difficult things, some dark valleys, what David called the valley of the shadow of death. But the great news is that shadows are shadows. They're not the reality. Shadows cannot hurt us. We don't have to fear valleys of difficulty. Even the shadow of death has no power over us. David says, it's not a destination. This is not my home. Yeah, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm not staying there. That is not my home. That is not my inheritance. I don't live there. I walk through it. And I will not fear. Why? Because you're with me. The shepherd is with me. The remedy for fear is not faith in ourselves or our ideas, but faith in the person and the presence and the power and the provision of Jesus. In difficulties, in suffering, in sickness, in battles, even in the face of attacks, of persecution and death, we never have to be afraid of the valley because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is with us every moment, every day, leading us, guiding us, empowering us, strengthening us, comforting us, caring for us, fighting for us. Amen. And I have more good news. The valley is where he grows our faith more than ever. Where we learn valuable truths that we can only learn in the valley. It's where he grows our faith. It's a necessary part of living for Jesus and following Jesus and learning to believe his word and trusting in him. Even the valley of death, when our time is done here on earth, it's just a door. It's just a door to eternal life with Christ Jesus forever. That's what eternity means, right? Can you say this morning, I will fear no evil. I can face whatever comes with confidence because Jesus is with me. Yeah. Yeah. So good. Also, listen, this is beautiful. In those days, the shepherd had a staff. You know, the thing with the hook on the end, okay? And when a sheep was moving away from the flock, he would hook the sheep and draw him back to the flock. He also had a rod. And when an enemy showed up to mess with one of his sheep, he beat the dickens out of him with that rod. I'm sorry, I'm from North Carolina. I can't help it. David says, I'm comforted by the staff who draws me back when I'm drifting away, and by the rod who protects me from the enemies that come to harm me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm so thankful that Jesus loves me enough to guide me back when I'm moving farther from him and his will and his plans and his purposes for me. And I am so thankful that Jesus has a rod to protect me from the enemies that come to steal and kill and destroy my faith and my future and that of those in my family, in our ministry. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Can you say that with confidence this morning? Thank you, Jesus. I am comforted because your rod protects me and your staff brings me back home to where I belong with you in your will. Now there's a big change here in verse 5, so let's read verse 5. We're almost done. Verse 5. David writes, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. David changes the scene from a shepherd and his sheep to a great banquet that the Lord has prepared for his honored guests. Now, this reminds us of a story of another banquet. When Jesus was invited to dinner at the home of a Pharisee, but he did not receive Jesus as an honored guest. He did not kiss him or have his feet washed. He did not anoint him with oil or offer him a cup. These were all things that you did for an honored guest. And here David tells us the Lord prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. We are his honored guests. And he anoints our head with oil and our cup overflows. This is great news. Our King Jesus has saved us. He has brought us into his family to eat at his table. He has prepared a banquet of grace and gifts of salvation and freedom and healing and victory. He has placed his Holy Spirit within us and everything we need to live an abundant life, a victorious life, we have in him. And our enemies see what Jesus has done for us and the abundance of his favor towards us, and they can do nothing to take it away from us. They are powerless to take it away from them, from us, if we do not give them that power. David declares, my cup overflows. My cup, sitting at the table of the king, my cup overflows. It's more than enough. It's not just sufficient, it's more than enough. David said, I am undone. I am overwhelmed. My cup overflows because of the mercy and the grace that has been shown to me to adopt me as a son of the king and to let me eat at his table. David says, my cup overflows. This is true satisfaction. This is what the world seeks but can't find anywhere else. It is true satisfaction. It is deep satisfaction of the hunger and the thirst in every human soul. An overflowing cup. The world seeks it. Few find it. Because narrow is the gate. This is it. Right here in Psalm 23. In three words, my cup overflows. So I ask you this morning, are you enjoying the banquet each day that Jesus has prepared for you? Are you living in the abundance and the victory of Jesus? Can you declare, as David declares, my cup is overflowing? My cup is overflowing. How many of us here this morning want to be able to say more and more, my cup overflows? I'm a pastor and I can tell you I need it more. I need it more. There are days when I feel like my cup is empty, but it's on me. It's on me. I'm at the table. My cup overflows. This is what Jesus desires for us even more than we desire for ourselves. He shed his own blood on a cross. He suffered and died in our place for this, so that we can say, my cup overflows. Okay, verse 6, we made it. Here we go. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we follow the Good Shepherd, he goes before us. He leads us to abundant life. Can we agree on that? That's what the word says. We might not do it well, but this is how it works. Follow the Good Shepherd. He leads us, and he leads us to abundant life. We follow him. But David says, we look back, and his goodness and mercy follows us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to look back and see my sin. I don't want to look back and see my failures and my pain and my suffering and all the stuff that I have gone through in my life and all the things that I have done or that others have done to me. I do not want to look back and see those things following me. And David says, Peyton, you don't have to, and neither do you this morning. Because of Jesus, you can look back and you can see his goodness and his mercy following you. I'm following Jesus. His goodness and mercy is following me. Now that is abundant life. He heals us. He saves us. He heals our hearts. He restores our souls. We don't have to look back and see that mess. do not, I counsel people, I talk to people. So many people, even Christians that are dedicated to following Jesus, they're looking back at all their mess and they can't get free. And I'm telling you, you don't have to live like that. I don't know what was done to you, and I don't know what you've done, but I know what Jesus did. And he hung on a cross for all of it. He died and he rose from the dead for all of it. So we don't have to walk in none of that stuff. His goodness and his mercy is what I want following me every day. David ends the psalm with the greatest news of all. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To live is Christ. To live is Christ every day with Jesus right now. To die is gain. Every day with Jesus forever. I don't even think we're counting days then. It's just forever. I will dwell. My favorite verse, I think I've preached about it here before, but my favorite verse in the whole Bible, it might surprise you where it comes from, Psalm 27:4. There is one thing that I ask of the Lord, this one thing that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's what I want. That's what I want for me every day. One thing above everything else. Because if that one thing is above everything else takes care of itself because of Jesus. Eternal life. Eternal life in Christ Jesus. I don't know if we think about it enough. I don't know if I preach about it enough. But eternal life. Only in Christ Jesus. I want to close with this. A friend of ours who actually teach biblical counseling, they're based in the capital city in San Jose, but they've been friends with ours. They used to come to our church. They've been friends of ours for many years. They've been having some trouble with their church in San Jose, and they came down to do some training for us, and they came to church on Sunday, her and her husband, and like I say, they're dear friends. They're missionaries as well and been there for a long time. And she gave me probably the greatest compliment I've ever been given as a pastor. And I don't say this to glory in myself or anything, but she said, I heard the name of Jesus more in your sermon today than I have heard it in a year in our church. How many of you know that's a problem? How many of you know that's a problem? And I told her, I said, you know, Jesus is all I have to offer. He's all I got. You know, I love pastors that do great illustrations and they have stories. I'm not saying it's wrong. Please don't misunderstand me, but it's just I don't stand up here or stand up in my church in Costa Rica and tell a lot of stories. Maybe it's not good, but I don't tell a lot of stories about my kids or things that happened or whatever, and I think there are people who are great at that. But all I got is Jesus. That's all I have to offer. Now, here's the great news that we've learned this morning. It's all we need. It's the only thing that we need. Everything else we have in him. Everything else we find in him. Only Jesus. He's all that the world needs. Jesus. He's our great reward. Jesus now, every day of our lives, and Jesus forever. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Let this be that, what we learned this morning, let that be that one thing that you seek above all other things. You will number one, it will transform your life. It will continue to transform your life. And you will find that deep satisfaction that everyone seeks and few find. Amen.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.